You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, Future You gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future You goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.
You're locked on The V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
I don't understand, guy says. Just want to say you've spent 51% on basketball and 49% on football. Do better. I know that means more on football, or he wants us to work some baseball talk in. Happy to do that.
Maybe it was a compliment.
I don't know. That's funny. I saw Satterfield and Mack eating together on the Sunday after Derby at a local chicken wing restaurant. Oh, good. Here's the thing. Oh, man. Where's the Drew Diener? The guy who sent the senior picture of Diener. That was some serious research. Oh, my God. Is that Process's senior picture? Oh, dear God. What is that a picture of?
I don't know.
Go to the text line.
This is great for an audio medium, by the way.
Well, you're not in audio. You're in video. You're not blind. You get your glasses on. Take a look. I'm asking. Who is that?
It would be poor Andrea Adelson.
No, there it is. There's Drew William Diener. This is awesome. We have to do this. This is quality work. All right. It says SAC. What's SAC? Student Academic Council? Student Council? What does SAC stand for? SAC? I don't want to get into that. Yeah. He's a what's his name? He's
that's what the Student Activity Center.
Oh, I thought he was, you know, the guy from Indiana. The guy who got suspended, the broadcaster guy.
Oh.
He thought maybe he was on, that was a sign. What the hell's his name?
Dockage?
Yeah.
Sack up?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Maybe he was the Dockage fan for his freshman and senior year, evidently, because it says sack. He sacked up for 1-4. Then it was a FBLA. He was a football, I don't know, what's LA? He watched football in Los Angeles for a year. He was in the German club 3 years. He sprachen sie Deutsch. Yearbook first year, and then he said, the hell with that. Tennis, 1, 2, 3, 4. Dude was tennising his ass off. Service, he was in the service his junior and his senior year.
I can't find this photo, but there's...
Oh, he's in trouble.
Process.
Young Republicans as a senior. Wow. He's a always Trumper.
Wow, just please... Sorry, Andrea.
Drew Diener. And then winning isn't everything, but wanting to win is Vince Lombardi. See, so he was setting the record straight that Lombardi didn't say winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. So even then, little Drew was concerned with getting things right. You know who's concerned about getting things right? ESPN's Andrea Adelson, who joins us right now. Andrea, I'm sorry, I had to read the senior bio of one of our coworkers here, Drew Diener. You might have been on his show on occasion. Do you know little Drew?
I do, absolutely. And I cringe at the thought of anybody looking up my senior bio. Please, nobody do that.
Why would you say that? You know now that many, including probably myself, will take that as a challenge. Somehow we will find that picture if we have to pay private investigators. We'll turn that picture out. I'm on thin ice because for me to do it as being a little older than Drew, my senior picture, first of all, my hair looks like I'm a member of Three Dog Night. And then I'm wearing this jacket. My lapels are wide enough you could use as a landing strip. I mean, it's just, and I'm thinking, why would I want that out there? So I really should just low-key it. So I don't know. That's dangerous. Will you let your children look at your senior picture as they grow, or will you shield them from it?
Well, you know, I went and found my old elementary school yearbooks because mine were so different than what they come home with, these really nice, pretty, shiny, huge books, and mine were basically, like, stapled together, like, you know, rusty staples. And so I wanted to show them, like, you really should appreciate how nice this stuff is compared to this flimsy, you know, stapled book that I got, and they had no interest at all. They were like, oh, Mom, God, no, like, we don't care what you look like. We don't care what your teachers were called. We don't care that you went to elementary school. Leave us alone.
Yes, welcome. I'm telling you, you know what? I have a friend. This is true, by the way, and I really think she's right. She said, "I don't know where you are, but where we are, if a building, a lot is vacant for more than 4 days, they pop in a self-storage unit. There's self-storage units going up like every 20 minutes everywhere. And evidently there's a great demand for it. And she contends, she's in the business, that 25 years from now, they'll all be broke because the millennials and the kids that are being born today couldn't care less, as we're being evidenced by your children and my children.
Yeah, it's so true. My stuff will probably be burned.
Isn't it? It's kind of sad, actually. I mean, you know, I guarded with my all my parents' stuff and my older brother's stuff, and my sons couldn't care less. You know, that was signed by Babe Ruth. Who cares? Throw it out. It's like, really? You sure about that? Yeah, whatever.
Anyway. Who's Babe Ruth?
Yeah, exactly.
Probably
also true. All right, let's get to some football here. You know, just a comment. There really isn't much to say, I don't imagine, other than from visiting with you in the past, you are in full agreement with it. But Scott Satterfield getting Coach of the Year in his first year in the league, certainly a relatively easy choice, right?
Well, I thought so, and then I looked at the results, and I've looked at some people on Twitter kind of wondering why Scott Satterfield won it. And in my head, I'm like, wait, I thought this was a slam dunk choice. But you know, Bronco Mendenhall was actually fairly close in the vote. I heard from some other folks who were like, well, how come Dino didn't get it last year and this year Satterfield gets it? And I'm like, we're comparing apples and oranges at this point. There's no need as a Syracuse fan to get upset that the Louisville coach wins it this year. It has nothing to do with you guys
right
this season. But in my mind, I thought it was an easy choice. When we talked about this at midseason, he was our midseason coach of the year, and I never really wavered in my belief that he deserved it. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that I saw this team in person last year. I understand how bad it was. One of the worst teams I've ever covered in my career, to be honest. And so to see how low it was last year, the turnaround they were able to make this year. And I know some people complain, it only goes to the coach who has, you know, that made the biggest turnaround. That's not necessarily true. Dabo did win it last year. He's actually won it a couple of times. But to me, the fact that he took a team that could not be any lower than Louisville was last year to get them to bowl eligibility and 7 wins and basically nearly doubled the win total that I thought they would get in the preseason, to me, just speaks to the job that he was able to do. And it's not taking away from what Bronco Mendenhall did at Virginia. You know, he did a great job taking a team that had never been in the ACC championship game to the Coastal Division with a team he still contends maybe only has 45 players of ACC caliber to win the Coastal with a team that you don't think is a full 85 filled with ACC type football teams. It's a tremendous accomplishment for Bronco, and it doesn't take anything away from what that team did. But I just think how far Scott Satterfield brought this team from the end of last year to where they are right now, he deserved that, no question about it.
See, I agree with you 100%. I'll try and amplify it a little, because the other thing is two things. One, and you touched on one. Whenever you say this, doesn't mean other people didn't do a good job. It's nobody's right minimizing. There have been other good jobs done. Those guys deserve a nice job. Congratulations, pat on the back as well. But when I look at this team and at where they came from, it's very difficult to say that it isn't just the coaching. I mean, that's the point. He's taking the same players. It wasn't like they brought in, well, sure, he got lucky. Somebody who was hurt last year came back. He took the same squad, basically, and the only difference is his coaching and his coaching staff. So that is the single easiest thing to put your finger on for where a coach makes a difference. And for that reason alone, I think of a number of good jobs in the league, Virginia Tech did a good job. You know, the fact is this was the best of the bunch.
Yeah, and someone else brought up Mack Brown at North Carolina. You know, kind of similar situation, you know, in being a losing program the last couple of years, having a coach and Mack Brown come in, getting them bowl eligible. My contention with that, and Mack did a great job getting this team bowl eligible. In fact, you can make an argument they probably should have been an 8 or 9 win team considering how close all of their games were. My contention with that is just in talking to ACC coaches in the preseason, a lot of the coaches in the Coastal thought that North Carolina would be able to sneak up on folks this year, that they would be a good team because of all the talent they had coming back. You add in true freshman quarterback Sam Howell, who everybody thought would be terrific, and it turns out, yeah, he's as good as the hype was going into it. That's why I never really considered North Carolina, because going into the year, I thought they'd have a chance to do a lot better with Mack Brown and the staff. Louisville, to me, best case was like 4-8. And I thought that'd be great because that doubles the win total, gets you moving in the right direction. But the fact that he was able to get to 7 wins but also maximize the talent. There was talent, specifically on offense. There was some talent coming back on that team. They were just mismanaged under the previous coaching staff. So now he comes in, he sees who he has, he turns Tutu Atwell into an all-ACC performer. And that wasn't even close, by the way. I mean, he deserved that spot. There was no quibbling or arguing about that. Same with Mekhi Becton, who now wins the Jacobs Blocking Trophy as the best offensive lineman in the ACC. Those two guys were on that team last year, and you couldn't get that out of them. So the fact that we've seen that, Mikhail Cunningham making a tremendous turnaround in terms of his ability to lead a team and throw the ball, make some yards on the ground. Every single player you can point to is saying, tangible difference here, tangible difference there, tangible difference over here. Defensively, there's still questions. We know that. You know, we know there's still issues that had to be cleaned up. But the fact is, this is a team that had no hope at the end of last year, like absolutely none. And to go from that to 7, to me, speaks volumes about not just the coaching job, but the buy-in. You know, getting these players to buy in and to believe and to play like a team. And so that's why he got my vote.
Yeah, Texter says not even just a low team, but probably as toxic of a locker room as ever a coach had to walk in on. And that's true. It was a train wreck last year. Andrew Adelson's with us here on the V Show on ESPN 680-1057. Let's get out of the ACC for a second, just because I think you could address this. I mean, early in your career at ESPN, as I understand, you covered Chris Peterson at least some, if not a lot. And I'm intrigued because that certainly shocked the lay fan like me. You're in the business. You hearing anything? Why would he step aside right now? What exactly is going on there, do you think?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I did my first year, first couple years actually at ESPN. My job was to cover, you know, it was the non-AQ or the non-automatic qualifier teams that was in the BCS era, right? So essentially group of six, like what we have right now. And I covered Boise State very heavily for the first couple of years at ESPN, first couple 3 years actually. So I got to know Chris Peterson as well as you can get to know a coach who is very closed off. And Chris Peterson is one of the more closed off coaches in college football. Doesn't mean he's rude or standoffish or a bad guy. He just didn't like doing media, as you will find from time to time among coaches, but always very friendly to me, always accommodating, gave me whatever I needed. And Chris Peterson's just a different guy. And what I mean by different guy is it wasn't always about football for him. You know, it wasn't that he was always constantly living and breathing football. He had interests outside of football, you know, with his kids and going out and doing things in the summertime with them, always making sure they were around the facility and around the building. And I just think, you know, the stress of the job for the last however many years he's been a head coach, 14, 15 years, just got to him at the end. You know, these jobs are no longer jobs where you can afford to take any time off. You simply cannot. They're year-round jobs. You're always on. And the type of guy he is and things that he stands for, I just think he got to the end of this season and thought, enough's enough. I'm totally stressed out. I don't have any balance in my life anymore. I've been doing this for, you know, 15 years. I just need to step away and I need to take a break. And what's interesting is he's not the first coach to do this in the last couple of years. You know, Bob Stoops stepped away because he'd had enough. Urban Meyer, we'll see if he comes back. But, you know, the stress had gotten to him after the stress at Florida had gotten to him. These are such high-stress, high-demand jobs that at some point or another, as we've seen here with these high-profile coaches, it gets to be too much, and you feel like you just need to step away to recharge. Was I surprised? Absolutely, I was surprised. That was the last bit of news I expected to see. I think it was Monday, the day that it broke, because nobody had been talking about it. It wasn't chatter. There was no chatter about it. I think a lot of that is because Chris Peterson doesn't really do a lot with the media and is kind of closed off in that respect, more of a private guy than you'll find. So it was a surprise. Not a lot surprises me in this business anymore. But seeing him step away, it did surprise me. And then once I heard his comments and his press conference and saw his demeanor, it made a lot of sense because it just falls in line with who he is and the things that he wants to get done in his life.
There are coaching openings in this ACC, talking to Andrea Adelson from ESPN, and lots of speculation. You want to add to the scuttlebutt? What are you hearing?
Well, I expect Florida State to be filled very soon. Their athletic director came out and said, you know, they won't have an announcement before the weekend, but I think you can read between the lines and say, all right, so maybe the weekend there'll be an announcement. It's something that they had promised from the start of this coaching search. They wanted something done by the end of the season, and I think people maybe expected it earlier in this week. It hasn't happened, but I think that it's going to be filled sooner rather than later. I think Boston College is going to have more of an open, wide-ranging search, and I think it would do them well to find somebody who's familiar with the challenges and recruiting, and not just the Northeast, but in a private, small school like Boston College. That comes with its own set of difficulties that, you know, other schools simply do not have. And I credit their athletic director for doing a good job in kind of getting upgrades to their facilities and some of the other stuff that they have needed. And now I think they're going to have more of a commitment in terms of head coaching pool salaries, assistant coaching salaries, which is something Boston College has needed. So I think they're going to go for somebody who does have head coaching experience, but also some experience in understanding and realizing that this isn't a job where you just sit down and say, all right, we're at Boston College, you know, we'll just be able to get any recruit we want. That's definitely not the case here. You got to work at it and work hard at it. So I don't know how quickly that one's going to work itself out. I think there'll be a Florida State announcement before Boston College, and that's just simply because Florida State's been open just a little bit longer.
And we're thinking Florida State and Memphis. Is that what the scuttlebutt is?
That's the scuttlebutt, yep, that's the scuttlebutt. I've got, you know, nothing confirmed by any stretch of the imagination on that, but, you know, his name is the one that has consistently come up, Mike Norvell, the head coach at Memphis. His name is the one that's consistently come up. Besides Bob Stoops, who there are still some Florida State fans who are living in their own alternate universe who think that's going to happen. It's not. The other name besides Bob Stoops has been Mike Norvell. And there's reasons for that. But what he's done at Memphis and following Justin Fuente has been terrific, and taking this team now on the verge of a New Year's Six bowl bid. You know, when Justin Fuente got there, they had won like four games over the last like 3 years combined. So he's done a terrific job, and he's one of the brighter offensive minds in the game, you know, just one of those stars that's on the rise. And if you're Florida State and you feel like you've got some talent coming back on offense, they thought they were getting an offensive guy in Willie Taggart, didn't quite work out. You know, Mike Norvell, I think, advances that a whole lot. And he's a good recruiter, and he's got experience coaching in the Power 5 level in terms of where he was as an assistant. So he seems to check all the boxes. We'll see if he ends up being the guy that they end up hiring.
Before I let you go, Andrea Adelson with us from ESPN. The ACC, you know, probably with some sense of justification, took a little bit of a pounding nationally in terms of the perception of the league. Obviously, they're you know, they cling to Clemson, and Clemson's excellence as their standard bearer. But the rest of the league got some pretty good bops over the head in terms of the public perception. I don't really follow the recruiting that much, but I don't know how much you need to in order to have a kind of a sense for where these teams are going. Does the league make a significant step forward next year? How much stronger do you think the ACC is next year, do you think?
Yeah, you know, I don't have a ton of hope for next year.
Really?
In terms of somebody who's going to step up and contend with Clemson or challenge Clemson. I just don't think there's anybody that's close to that level. Now, if we want to talk about the potential to have more top 25 teams than this year, certainly I think that potential exists. But it's two different conversations, right? It's one thing to have top 25 teams, but really only have one team contend for a playoff spot, versus having a couple three teams, like in the SEC, where you've got multiple teams in the mix for a playoff spot, and then round out the rest of the top 25. So I don't really think there's anybody on the same level as Clemson in terms of being able to challenge or contend with them. I do have high hopes for Virginia Tech and North Carolina just out of the Coastal Division, just, you know, off the top of my head, if I'm looking forward, because they bring their quarterbacks back. Mm-hmm. They bring a ton of talent back. And I think those two teams are right on the edge there, you know, of being top 25 programs. Obviously, Louisville's made some tremendous strides. I expect Florida State to be better. I know I said that last year, and I'm starting to sound foolish now by saying this over and over again.
Well, you sound foolish, Andrea.
I think they'll be better. I don't know if they're going to be top 25 better, but I'm sitting here, I'm looking at the top 25 recruiting rankings just to see who's going to have a potential maybe to up their game a little bit. You got Clemson right now sitting at number 4, and then the next closest ACC team is Miami at 15, North Carolina at 17, Florida State at 18. And that rounds out the top 25. Mm. Not exactly the numbers you want to hear if you're in the ACC, right? You want your schools like Miami and Florida State, even North Carolina now that Mack Brown is there, to try and make a push into that top 10, top 15. And in this recruiting class, it clearly hasn't happened. In Miami at 15, I don't know what that class is going to look like because of the way the season ended.
Yeah.
They might end up losing a couple of guys. So we'll see how it plays out, but I don't think next year is a year where we can sit here and say, oh, yeah, there's going to be three teams that are potential playoff teams. Well, I still think it's Clemson and everyone else.
Well, Louisville's got to commit from a really good quarterback coming in,
yes,
and so maybe
absolutely.
It bodes well for the Cards for next year locally.
Yeah,
anyway,
absolutely. We'll Yep, the arrow's pointed up.
We're very happy we use your daughter as a barometer of all things sports, and evidently she approves of Louisville's recent renovation to their court, the basketball
She
court.
Loves it. Let me just tell you something real quick. I don't know if you have time for this, but
sure.
My husband is from Ann Arbor, and so we just spent Thanksgiving in Michigan visiting my mother-in-law, and they came loaded back with their Michigan gear, right? Grandma buys them all Michigan stuff. That's fine. So we sit down to watch the game because it's Michigan, and she looks at the court and she's like, I like that. I like that. And she knows Louisville because of my job, and she, you know, Angry Birds is what she always calls them. And so she gets Louisville. She knows Teddy and Lamar and all the, you know, guys. She knows, very familiar with Louisville. So we tuned in to watch Michigan, and she ended up watching the court the whole time. So there you have it.
It's
That's
impressive.
A win for
all right.
Louisville right
well,
there.
Well, I am going to do this. Do not hang up, Nick. I'm dead serious about this. We are going to find what size would your little daughter wear?
She's a little bit of a peanut. Probably as a small or a medium.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to send her a children's apparel of some sort with the, because they brought the bird back. The dunking bird is back as a logo. And we all love it here. So we'll send. We're going to find her a shirt with the dunking bird or something with the dunking bird on it.
Oh,
and
man.
We're going to send it to her. So I'm putting you on hold.
She
so
would give, love that.
No, well,
Thank you.
We're definitely going to do it. We're not going to let Grandma corrupt your child. We are going to fight that off. All right. Thanks, Andrea. Good talking to you.
All right.
It's always a pleasure.
Great chatting with you.
All right.
Thank you.
So I'm putting you on hold. Don't disappear. So get on there, Nick, and get her address. So I put her on hold. We come back. We're going to go through every damn college football game that's left, and we're going to give you the Sagarins and what they say about that. So we'll do that on the other side. So stay with us. So we'll get through as many of these as we can, and then Roddy Jones from the ACC Network going to join us as well. So stick around. ESPN 680-1057.
Broadcasting live from the Papa John Studios, you're listening to ESPN 680 and 1057. You're listening to The V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Let's jump through this. There's a bunch of games, more than any time we've ever done, because we're doing everything that's left. They're conference championship games with the exception. They're all conference championship games, I believe. Yep, they all are. So, exception of Army-Navy. And we'll try and get to that one as well. So, let's see if we can bust these out here in a... Well, maybe some of the rest of them maybe aren't. Let me see. I think they all are. Regardless, we're going through all of these here as we take a look at the games on the dockets. Let's go jump in, shall we? Utah and Oregon starts it. Utah is a 6.5-point favorite over Oregon. According to the Sagarins, this game should be a 1-point separation. So that would be a game, a play to take Oregon in that game. Oregon is getting 6.5 points. Sagarin say that's 5 points too many. Baylor and Oklahoma. Oklahoma is a 9-point favorite in this game. They should be a 6-point favorite. So that would be a play also for Baylor. Baylor, take the points there. Baylor plus, 9. That's a lot of points there. So Baylor is a, so we got two plays already right out of the chute. Keep in mind, the college Sagarins have not been as good as the NFL Sagarins. The margin of separation between the teams in the NFL is a little smaller. I think it makes it easier to do relative numbers. The schedules, there's a wild disparity in college football. But, I think probably we should make it that the college games, maybe the plays are, if it's 5 points different instead of just three. But we'll keep using the pen. And it does have a winning record. So I'm going to give you what we've got. So, but I will tell you, in the NFL, the numbers for the Sagarins have been very strong. Louisiana takes on Appalachian State, championship game in the Sun Belt. App State is a 6.5-point favorite. According to this, they should be a 7.5-point favorite. That's a no play there. Central Michigan and Miami. Central Michigan is a 6.5-point favorite. They should be a 4-point favorite. That's a lean. Anything that's between 2 and 3 is a lean. So Central Michigan minus 6.5 would be a Miami a lean. Pardon me. So Miami's the lean there. They're getting 6.5. That's just a lean. Miami's getting too many points, according to that. They should only be getting about 4, but not enough to say it's an actual play. Conference USA Championship has FAU and UAB, the battle of the initials. And this one has FAU as Florida Atlantic as a 7.5-point favorite. In fact, Florida Atlantic should be a 12-point favorite. According to the Sags, that's where you take Florida Atlantic and lay the points. 7.5, that would be the play there. We go to Cincinnati and Memphis. Memphis is a 9-point favorite in this game. They should be an 8-point favorite. That's a no play there. Georgia and LSU in the SEC championship game. LSU is a 6.5-point favorite. They should be a 3-point favorite. That's a slight lean to Georgia. And that's actually a play for Georgia because it's 3.25. So Georgia's a play there. Georgia plus 6.5 is a play, according to the Sagarins. We go to the Mountain West Championship game where Boise State takes on Hawaii. And I think I'm going to have to scroll for this one. Oh, no, it's listed. I'm sorry, I didn't see it. I missed it. Boise State is a 14-point favorite. They should be a 15.5-point favorite. That's a no play there. Virginia takes on Clemson, ACC championship game. Clemson is laying 28.5. According to the Sagarins, that's a significant number of too many. Should be 21 points. So Clemson is laying 7 points more than they should. Lachlan will be proud to hear that. Take the Fighting Lachlan McLeans and be ahead 28-0 right now in the ACC championship game. So another play there. We go to the Big Ten championship, where Ohio State takes on Wisconsin. Ohio State is laying 16.5. They should be laying 13.5. So that is kind of right on the number, but technically it says you should take Whiskey. Take Wisconsin. They're getting a few too many points. So Whiskey plus 16.5, according to the Sagarin numbers there. And then the Army-Navy game. I'm going to have to scroll for some of these other ones, because these are not listed on my sheet here. So indulge me for just one moment. Army and Navy are going at it. Army is technically an independent, right? Yeah. So they are 61.4 is the rating for them, where Navy is in Conference USA. This is a neutral field game. 61.4. Navy is it Navy in Conference? Oh, Navy the American. Sorry. Wrong league. Let's see. Navy is 79.3. So they're 79.3. And of course, I've now misplaced damn Army. What'd I say they were? 79. And Army is... I hate having to do it this way. Usually they're nice and tidy listed right in front of me. Oh, goodness. I'll find them. I'm determined. 79.3. All I know is Navy's a 4.5-point favorite. My guess is they should be more than that based on what I heard. 79.3. Army is 61. Navy should be like an 18-point favorite. They're only a 4.5-point favorite. That's a that may be the play of the week. Navy got injury problems I don't know about. Navy laying 4.5 is that's way out of whack. Army's 5-7. Navy's 7. Army's 5-7.
More
than the Navy's
ACC
9
title
and 2.
Game? What? That might be a better play than the ACC title game.
Oh my God! It's like it's 79-61. It should be a 17 or 18-point spread. It's only 4. That's that. I mean, as my good friend Mike Pratt would say, I think I'm going to unbuckle on that one. Maybe that's
the ACC one's 11. So yeah, those might be your parlay.
Very
maybe.
Strong. Let's see. So according to this, there's some other games going on here though that I can't find the spreads for. That's probably why it's probably too soon for the spreads. Like Illinois State and Central Arkansas. What the hell is that? Is that a regular season game of some sort that I don't know about? I don't know what that is. Is that a Division I AA game? Yes, it is. Oh, and there's no spreads on the 1AA game, so I can't help you with those. The Sagarins will predict them, but I can't find a point spread on any of those. So the rest of the games are games that are in the Division II, the 1AA playoffs. So for the Division I, those are all the games we gave you. So you got them. So the summary is this. Sagarins have very strong opinions. Doesn't mean that's why generally when you play this many games, you're not going to win. So pick the best of the bunch. But if you're looking for some numbers to support your own theories, it says Oregon take the points at 6.5. Baylor take the points getting 9. FAU lay the points laying 7.5. Georgia take the points getting 6.5. Virginia take the points getting 28.5. Wisconsin take the points getting 16.5. And Navy lay the points laying 4.5. That one is way out of whack. Seriously, I don't understand that at all. You never see that kind of a disparity between the Sagarins and the betting spread, unless something's gone on. Did Navy's quarterback get hurt? I mean, or something? Because that seems completely... He must have. There has to be something I'm missing there. But again, these are just meant as supplemental information. If you're going to invest your hard-earned money, I'm sure you're going to want to go more than just the Sagarin numbers. But boy, they have proven to be very, very helpful to me. I hope they're helpful to you. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games for the Sags this week. One last time, some of you are driving, you want to know, Oregon, take the 6.5, Baylor, take the 9, FAU, lay the 7.5, Georgia, take the 6.5, Virginia, take the 28.5, Wisconsin, take the 16.5, Navy, lay the 4.5, the best of the bunch, according to the numbers, is Navy, laying the 4.5. Oh, Andrew Sweeney? Let's bring his little radio hosting butt in. Andy, what's on your mind?
Well, hello, Bob. I was listening to you. I'm going to be broadcasting live for the take here at the top of the hour from Evergreen Liquors off Shelbyville Road.
Nice.
The Tailspin Ale Fest presale is going to begin today at 4 o'clock, so come out here for all the great deals. But I just wanted to mention, you mentioned Mike Pratt. He's going to be on my show at 4 o'clock today. So I wanted to promote something else besides Mark Ennis's rhetoric and on your show. So if I could do that, you mentioned Mike Pratt. You can hear him at 4 o'clock today. So
great.
There you go. How
Thanks.
About that?
Appreciate that.
All right,
thank
welcome.
You. Yeah, no,
you're very welcome.
Yeah, well, a lot of promoting all things and work being done on shows that are not mine. So good for you. That was well played. That's a guy who gets it. That was good. That was well done. We'll be out there tomorrow if Sweeney and his cohorts haven't drunk everything in stock. That's just a joke. We'll be out there tomorrow, our own selves at Evergreen Liquors. Looking forward to being out there. Does Mike know? By the way, why are you pointing at the floor?
I was giving you L's down. No, I was saying stay here because we have.
I don't want to.
All right, then go to break. And Mike will know right now because I'm texting.
Okay, good. We're going to go to break, and then we'll be back in just 1 second. But before we do that, I can tell you about my friends. Do you want me to go to break or not? You told me not to. Now you want me to. Make your mind up. All right, we'll go to break. That's it. I made the decision. Next second.
It's college football.
I'm in break. I'm going to break. I'm in break right now. I'm going to break. We're in break. Made an executive decision. Let's go to break.
You're listening to The V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Former outstanding player at Georgia Tech and now currently as part of the broadcast crew for the ESPN ACC network, Roddy Jones joins us right now. And Roddy, thanks for being with us. Good to catch up with you. I'm just curious what your thoughts were. Obviously, Louisville fans, we think the guy's done as good a job as has been done in the country, but there was some, you know, there were other good coaches who did a good job in this ACC as well. And so there's a little pushback about how can you give Coach Satterfield the Coach of the Year job. To me, it was a no-brainer. But what are your thoughts on that?
I thought it was a no-brainer as well. And look, Bronco Mendenhall did a fantastic job at Virginia. I think what Justin Fuente did at Virginia Tech, especially the second half of the season after that Duke game, was incredible. Dabo Swinney, of course, an incredible coaching job. And Dave Clawson, I mean, what he did at Wake, the start that they got off to until they just had too many injuries to sustain it, was marvelous. But Scott Satterfield took a broken program and completely flipped it. And look, that was a team, and you know as well as anybody, that's a team that is not very deep in terms of its talent, but very talented at the top. And he did a marvelous job of designing an offense to take advantage of the talents of the guys around him, which is what coaching is all about. So I had no issues, and I was actually a public advocate for Scott Satterfield to get the Coach of the Year award because this Louisville team, both from a last year standpoint, depth standpoint this year, and just the job that he did coaching, like actually coaching fundamentals and getting these guys to be better, was absolutely fantastic. So I was a big fan of it.
All right, fair enough. That'll make you popular around here, but we agree. And there were other good coaching jobs. Mac Brown did a hell of a job, and you know, you talked about
Mac Brown,
Bronco,
yeah, good point.
Certainly, I think this guy was magical considering how toxic the culture was down here. It's just amazing. Let's get to the ACC championship game. A 28-point favorite, Clemson, comes in looking for its fifth consecutive conference championship. They haven't lost a game in more than 700 days. Can Virginia stay around, keep it relatively close? What do you envision in this game?
I don't see Virginia keeping it all that close. But if you want to design a recipe for an upset, I think it's going to come down to a couple of things. One, you're going to have to make Clemson play a low percentage game. So that throws down the field on those fade balls that they like, and they complete a decent amount of them. If you can have one of those days where you're making them make those throws and, you know, maybe they're a little bit off, or you make some big plays and you're able to break some of them up, you get Clemson on some three and outs, you're able to extend the game by running the ball on offense and then get some non-offensive touchdowns, whether that be kickoff return, a pick six, a scoop and score, just something to get you some easy points, then you're in a ball game. Other than that, like, you look at this Clemson team, if you stack them up against Virginia, they're overwhelming at every position, maybe except for on the offensive line against Virginia's defensive line. But, I mean, Clemson's offensive line is fantastic. That's just where Virginia's the best. So every single matchup that you break down, Clemson's going to be overwhelming. So Virginia's going to have to play a great game. Bryce Perkins is going to have to put Superman cape back on and then probably get some help from Clemson in terms of non-offensive scores.
ESPN's Roddy Jones with us here to help break down the ACC championship game. This is really an incredible run. I mean, the Tigers just beat South Carolina 38-3, six straight wins now by at least 35 points. As we said, they haven't lost in close to two calendar years. And I understand, I coached, so I get it. You always want to have some sort of a motivator. But what did you make about Dabo's? We don't get any respect. Nobody wants us in. And I'm looking around saying, who doesn't want Clemson in? I thought he made a little too much of that.
I think there was some truth sprinkled into a lot of hyperbole. With the nobody wants us in, I think he's kind of conflating the narrative that's gone throughout the national media. And not everybody in the national media, just some very prominent, loud voices in the national media, if you know where I'm going with that. I think he's conflating that with the College Football Playoff Committee, who, yeah, College Football Playoff Committee had him at five. They deserved to be at five at that point in time. They no longer deserve to be at five because of what they have done since then.
Right.
So I think it's absolutely – I think the narrative has turned. The College Football Playoff Committee just wants the best four teams. Let me tell you, Clemson's one of the best four. They're going to be one of the best four when they win, and if they lose, they're going to be one of the best four, and they're still getting in my opinion. So I think that has totally changed. I think that, you know, Dabo kind of gets on a roll a little bit. He starts to, you know, make these big general statements, and it can ruffle people's feathers a little bit, but ultimately he's trying to motivate his team and create that, hey, it's still us against the world. Because once upon a time at Clemson, it was Clemson against everybody else. Now, people love Clemson. Now, some people don't, but most of the country loves Clemson, and you're really good, so you still got to create that feeling of, hey, we're still the little guy fighting for our spot at the table.
He comes across, no disrespect to Coach Saban, but part of it is, if you're going to look at the two dynastic programs of the last few years, he just comes across as more warm and cuddly.
He does. And so people, when people hear that, they're like, Dabo, come on, man. We want to like you. We want you to be warm and cuddly. Don't do that. That's what Nick Saban does with the rat poison.
Exactly right. Ronnie, I wish we had more time to talk, but they make me get out now, so I've got to leave. So appreciate the visit and enjoy the conference championship game, and hopefully you'll come visit with us in the future. Thanks so much.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on. Next time we'll make it a little bit longer.
All right. Thanks very much for the time. Yeah, he's busy at this time of year, and we got to get out because Andy Sweeney is going to be broadcasting from a liquor store.
New York Mike called me. Yeah. I told him we were wrapping up, but he did say that his pick tonight for the Thursday night football
game. Bears and Cowboys?
Yeah, heard right here on ESPN Louisville over on 93.9 The Ville. He said to take the Bears and the points. They're getting three.
All right, fair enough. They're in Chicago, right? They're in the freezing Chicago weather, so we'll see what plays out. How about that, by the way, before I go, for a non-ringing endorsement for Jerry Jones? They asked him about Jason Garrett be his coach next year, and his answer was, I expect Jason Garrett to be coaching in the NFL next year.
That was the most
non-endorsement I've ever heard.
Someone tweeted, like, that's the equivalent of an ex saying that you'll find love again.
Wow. And also, by the way, Paisan, Adam Vinatieri had an MRI, not sure about the rest of his season. The journey might have finally come to an end for a guy who's been kicking since the French and Indian War. Hey, by the way, thanks to Adam and his staff for dropping off Wing Zone Catering to the studios. Try the ESPN Louisville special. 10 boneless wings, wedges, and a drink. Just march into any Wing Zone store and scream at the top of your lungs, ESPN Louisville, and they'll give you all that food and drink for just $9.39. It's good 7 days a week, or the Thursday special, 20 boneless wings for just $14. When it's this cold outside, stay home and let Wing Zone bring their delicious wings to you. The Wing Zone delivery is perfect for office lunches or game day parties. Order online at wingzone.com. Two locations, Hikes Point and Hess Lane near U of L. Unless you know something I don't, we'll be at it with you tomorrow, hopefully with Mike Pratt if we can track him down. It'll be Fast Break Friday. You guys have a great afternoon. Andrew Sweeney brings you The Take next here on ESPN 680 105.7.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded. Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.